For those of you who maybe don't know me, my name is Carol Best. I'm on the team here at LIM, and I was allocated quite a large passage of scripture. So Tom said anywhere from Hebrews, middle of Hebrews 10, right through to the beginning of chapter 12. And obviously he said, you know, you go where God leads you and focus on one particular point if you want to. And but it's such a good passage, and in some ways, so obvious. It's simple. So we're going to be doing a lot of reading it. Oh, I need the clicker. Where's the clicker? There it is. Thank you. So we're going to read through it, and most of it anyway. And as we do that, I'll just stop at intervals for a bit of commentary or things that I feel that God has laid on my heart. So we're going to read it, we're going to open it up, and we're going to look to apply it. I have chosen the New Living Translation. Where do I point this at here? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So let's read this together. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. I'm not sure that we're really aware of how radical a statement that was. To go into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. Once a year, one man, after a huge amount of ritual and symbolism, was allowed into the Holy of Holies. And on his robes, round the bottom of the robes, were little gold bells. In Exodus 28, it tells us, the sound of the bells will be heard when he enters the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, so that he will not die. Under threat of death, it had to be done right. And for us, it's not really something that we have any equivalent with in our society. But for them, for the Jewish people reading this, the converts who had come to follow Jesus, it's a really radical thing. There's also a kind of, probably a semi-myth, we don't know, but there's talk about how the priest, as well as having the bells around the bottom of his robe so that people could hear as he moved around, presumably so they knew he was still alive and hadn't been struck down by the great and awesome God. There's a bit of a thing about him having a rope around his ankle. Not sure. Scripture doesn't mention it. It's talked about as a kind of tradition so that if he did die, they could get him out of there. because nobody dare go in, because the Holy of Holies was the place where God's presence was most powerful. And here, they're being told that they can enter into the Holy of Holies freely, the place where God's presence is the strongest. The writer of Hebrews is reminding them of the difference that their faith in Jesus makes, the difference that Jesus made, radically better. Now we can go right into the presence of the living God. Not one man, once a year, under strict conditions. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Hold tightly to the hope. What is this hope? What were they? What are we trusting for? That Jesus is indeed the best. That there is no other by whom we can come to Father God. That his death was effective in winning us a right relationship with God. This is the hope we hold tightly to. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Note that expectation of Jesus' soon return. Because now comes a warning. Oh, top of the page has disappeared, but that's okay. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God, and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit, who brings God's mercy to us. For we know the one who said, "I will take revenge, I will pay them back." He also said, "The Lord will judge his own people." It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We don't particularly like to think about God's judgment, do we? But this is a strong warning. You see, no one and nothing will ever pluck you from God's hand. But to walk away, to deny and rebel, is a serious act indeed. The letter moves on. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Remember the earlier reference to Jesus' return. He was expected soon, tomorrow, next week, next month. Some time had passed, and still there was no sign. And initially, they coped with the hardship. But as time wore on, how long would they need to struggle? Beaten, jailed, thrown into an American jail, actually, if you look the way they've spelt it. Beaten, jailed, their possessions confiscated. I don't know about you, but I've never faced anything that bad. An odd insult, an odd remark that someone's made about being holier than thou, or...
Yeah, she believes in God.
Little bit of inconvenience now and again. Tiny bit of odd open hostility, but actually, to be honest with you, that's rare. I've found anyway in the communities I've been in, work or whatever. So to face those things with the confidence that Jesus was coming and you'd be vindicated and you knew what was going to happen, and then for him to delay coming, it's understandable that they were beginning to lose momentum. So this chapter ends with words of encouragement. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. And so ends chapter 10 of Hebrews, with those ringing words of encouragement. We are the faithful ones. Hebrews chapter 11 starts with a very famous verse. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Is George here? No. Oh, he's poorly, because he told me he was going to be here. There's a song, a children's song. Faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of things you cannot see. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. Hebrews 11 verse 1. And there are of course accompanying actions. I was talking to George about it during the week, and he asked me, was I going to sing it here? I've used the New Living Translation, so it phrases it slightly differently. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. You know, faith is defined as a complete trust or confidence in something or someone. And trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain about things that we have not yet seen. We are to have complete confidence in the reliability, truth, and ability of God. And the only way to do that is to get to know him. The rest of chapter 11 is a resume of many who, in the history of the Jewish people, displayed their faith in God. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. Some saw great miracles, wealth, and length of life. Others were scorned, tortured, martyred. All are held up, despite their faults and flaws, as examples of faith. Faith that God can be trusted to keep his word. Returning to the last bit of scripture, the beginning of Hebrews 12, chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. The NIV version says, entangles. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. The how I've put in. How? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. We keep our eyes on Jesus, brighter than the angels, greater than Moses, surpassing Aaron, having established a new priesthood, a new and better covenant. We keep our eyes on Jesus, simply the best. There is no other who compares. And you know, you might think you've got problems. But remember this. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. You know, these Hebrews had suffered for their decision to follow Jesus. They turned away from thousands of years of heritage, belief, and tradition for something they believed to be better. And now, maybe wavering a bit. Was it too good to be true? Jesus hadn't returned. And the temptation to return to the familiar, widely held beliefs and actions is understandable. How entangled are we in our heritage, in our traditions, in our past? I'm not saying that everything is bad. I have a good friend who always says, eat the fish and leave the bones. Because in this life, nobody is perfect and nothing is perfect. But you need to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. And is it still what God requires of you? Are we scared of where God might lead? After all, we are called to life in all its fullness, not life in all its comfort. It's interesting that we're actually not asked to do more or to strive to be more. We are called to recognize and live in the reality of all that Jesus' sacrifice made possible. Those who have committed to follow Jesus are children of the living God, loved and accepted and useful in the hands of God. Yeah, that's you. Those who have committed to follow Jesus are children of the living God, loved and accepted, useful in the hands of God. Many, many years ago now, I read a book by Brendan Manning. So many years ago now that I can't actually remember all that was in it. However, still on my bookshelf, and the title still sits there, very obvious. The book is called Ruthless Trust. Ruthless Trust. Now, Brendan Manning led a troubled life himself. He was once in holy orders, and he left, and my understanding is that he struggled with alcoholism his whole life. But his book, Ruthless Trust, you know, ruthless to be without pity or compromise, to be relentless and adamant, and trust. Having a firm belief in the reliability, truth, and ability of God. AV people, I'm going to ask you to play that song in a minute. I'm going to play, it's a children's song. If you find the visuals a mite saccharine, bear with, it does get a little bit better towards the end. Or just close your eyes and listen to the words. One quote from Brendan Manning's book is, clearly, growth in trust cannot be self-initiated. We do not have to do anything except let our unworthy, ungrateful selves be loved as we are. And trust happens. You will trust him to the degree that you know you are loved by him. You will trust him to the degree that you know you are loved by him. So I'm going to ask if they just play the song and we'll just take a moment to consider, in whom or what do we place our trust? Recently, I've been challenged, so you're getting it too. I've read a lot of Paul preaching the gospel of Jesus, and in a number of places he says that his preaching was not with persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And I hear many fine words. And only sometimes experience the Spirit's power. And I was asking, why, Lord? And some days later, walking quietly home, I got an answer. Very clearly. Because you don't listen. So, hopefully having heard some fine words, we are going to take a little bit of time to listen. The group is going to play for us, and we're just going to ask that God's Spirit moves amongst us in power. God knows that we are British, and He can equip and encourage us without any hoopla. He may deal with something personal to you or divulge something that needs to be shared with us all. And if that's the case, then speak to Scott and he will decide how that's going to go. It may be that you just sit back and bask in the love, grace, and mercy of God, so building up your faith and trust in Him. We have faith that Jesus saved us, that God wants a relationship with us. So let's take a moment to listen for God. I'll just open in prayer and then the band will play quietly just for a few minutes and then they will lead us on from there. Let's pray. We invite you to come, Lord, and to speak to us. May we know more certainly the truth of the hope that we have in you. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in Him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.